I want to start with a Maisa about Simchas Torah that revolves around the Chaim Volozhiner and the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so we're talking about Chaim Volozhiner. So have any of you ever heard a song that they sing in the yeshiva world? In many of the yeshivos and kollelim, they sing a song. It's kind of Yiddish, but it's pretty self-explanatory. And the song goes like this. Olam haba is a good zach. Learning Torah is a best zach. Na 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 na. Olam haba is a good zach. You ever heard that?
It's a Moroccan tune. I know it.
with Syrian lyrics. Yeah. So the Shlomo, you know what I'm talking about, right? Right, Mr. Garfunkel, you've heard it before, correct? What?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. So the way it goes, Olam Haba is a good zach, which means Olam Haba is a good thing. Learning Torah is a better zach, but learning Torah is even better. And then it goes da 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 da, and then it ends off. Learning Torah is a good zach. Olam Haba is a good zach. Olam Haba is good. So where does this song come from? And on Simchas Torah, in the yeshivas, everyone sings this song. Right? We sang it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have Aedus from the room here, and we sang it here. So now, where does it come from? So the story is like this. The story was that the Vilna Gaon was Nifter on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I think it's the second night or third night of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, is the Vilna Gaon's yahrzeit. So it came to Simchas Torah, and all the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon could not dance. They were depressed. You know, the Rebbe died. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner gathered together the Talmidim, the whole group of Talmidim. Now, let me explain to you something. Let me explain to you what the Olam Haba of the Vilna Gaon looks like. Okay, and he starts just describing to them the greatness of the Olam Haba of the Vilna Gaon. So then they said, all right, so we don't feel bad for the Vilna Gaon anymore, but we feel bad for ourselves. Now, you know, we're down in this world, now it's even worse. You know, Olam Haba is so great, the Vilna Gaon's Olam Haba, and we're down in this world and a bunch of, you know, sheker and all the craziness of this world. So then he says, no, well, let me explain to you something. Let me explain to you what learning Torah is. Any minute of learning is greater than all the Olam Haba. Everything I described to you. But if you learn, a minute of learning is greater than the whole Olam Haba I just described to you. So now you still have the opportunity to learn, so you shouldn't be depressed. So then they got depressed again because they said, well, the Vilna Gaon can't learn now. Now we're sad that the Vilna Gaon can't learn anymore. So he said like this, okay, for you, learning is great. But for the Vilna Gaon, you could be happy for his Olam Haba. So that's the way the song goes. It says, Olam Haba is a good zach. Olam Haba is a good thing. He's telling you how great the Olam Haba of the Vilna Gaon. Calm down. And then they got excited. So they said, learning Torah is a better zach. But learning Torah is even better. But then you have to convince them that for the Vilna Gaon, Olam Haba is still good. So it's off the song, Olam Haba is a good zach. Olam Haba is still good. So that's the source of the song. Is Reb Chaim Volozhiner teaching the Talmidim how to cope with the fact that the Vilna Gaon was no longer there on Simchas Torah, but that Lamaisa, they still have the opportunity to continue to learn, and having the opportunity to continue to learn is greater than the Olam Haba itself. So anyway, just wanted to share that. Once we're on the topic of, you know, Chaim Volozhiner and Simchas Torah, so that's the story. Okay. Okay, so let's pick up in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey. Okay? Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hey says the following. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi Omer. Mishmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says, Haloimin Amanas Lamid. We started this last time. One who teaches with the intention, one who learns with the intention to teach. Maspikin biyadoi lilmoid ulalamid. Okay? He will have the, he will be given the opportunity to teach and to learn. Valoimid Amanas Lasois. And if you teach with the intention to complete your task, okay? We spoke this out last time. The Ritzotik Omer, the Ritzotik says a very important concept. The Ritzotik says the following. Altase matara lehisgadol bohem. Do not use the Torah as a crown to make yourself great through the Torah. Because you're using it for your own personal motives. You should not use the Torah to further your own personal motives. Okay, al tasim atara lehisgadol b'hem. Don't use it as a crown to further your own personal goals. V'loy kardoim lachbor b'hem. And not as a shovel. Don't use it as a shovel to dig with. In other words, don't use the Torah for your own personal motives. V'kachaya Hillel Omer, and Hillel used to make a phrase about this. U'dishtamish b'taga, someone that uses the crown of Torah, cholaf, will eventually leave this world. Halamarta, so we learn from there, kolanena midivrei Torah, anyone who benefits themselves with the words of Torah, no talchayov min ha'olam, will lose his life. Okay? So, this is a very, first of all, there's stories in the Gemara that describe the tremendous, lengths that the Talmidei Chachamim would go in order to support themselves and in order to avoid getting something rewarded for learning Torah. So the Rambam here in the Pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam has an entire lengthy discussion, which would seem to be, if you read it at face value, against the concept of kolo. Because he says, the Mishnah says, you're not supposed to use Torah learning to promote your own benefit. And here you are saying, I'm going to learn Torah all day and I want everyone else to pay me for it. Right? So the Rambam gives a whole thing to explain that's the way. Because it says, I'm just being perfectly honest, I'm going to tell you what the Rambam says. So the Rambam says, he says that the great Tanoim and Amoraim all had their own parnasa. It says Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar. Rabbi Yochanan was a sandler. He says, well, you don't think that there was rich people that would have gone to Rabbi Yochanan Hasandlar and say, stop being a shoemaker, I'll support you? He didn't want it, etc., etc., etc. Hillel Azakin was a wood chopper, and he brings all sorts of proofs like that. Now, many people argue with his proofs, including Maran Bet Yosef. And Maran Bet Yosef in the Kesef Mishnah has about a 3-page Kesef Mishnah refuting every proof that the Rambam has, which is Shalom Kedarko, obviously. This is, he goes out of his method of learning. The Beis Yosef, his foundation of everything is the Rambam. And here he goes out to prove that, the Rambam's proofs are not really accurate. And Hillel and Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, they only had a profession in the early years when they were still studying, but once they became Gedolei Torah, it's obvious that they didn't get supported, etc. And he basically makes a distinction. He says, the distinction is, if a person just says, support me because I'm learning for myself, then maybe that's called Atara Lehisgadol Ba. He's using it for his own personal motive. But if a person says, support me because I'm here for the community, so then he's helping the community. So in other words, just like a community needs, he says, Dayanim, and they need a Rav, and they need a Sheikhit, and they need a Bezdin, and they need this thing. So they also need people studying, and therefore the supporting of that is not considered using it for your own personal benefit. That's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. Then the Kesef Mishnah says two other points. One of the points is, he says, if you look in the Rambam says, how should a person go about their daily schedule? So the Rambam says the way to go about your daily schedule is that you should, after you finish your daily learning, you should go ahead and work, you know, for your panasa. So he says, and how, what should you do during your daily learning regimen? So he says, you should split up your learning into three parts. 3 hours Chumash, 3 hours Gemara, and 3 hours Halacha. Then you go out to work. So the Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam was talking about someone that was learning 9 hours a day. And then he went out to work for 3 hours. So that guy, Taka, deserves to, you know, it makes sense. He says, but go find someone in today's environment that if you learn 9 hours a day, will be able to work enough to make their own parnasa. Doesn't work. Right? So it's not the same. It's not the same what the Rambam was talking about. So the Chazon Ish used to have a joke. Someone asked the Chazon Ish that someone in yeshiva, so he said, how much should they learn during Bein HaZmanim? It's vacation. How much should you learn Bein HaZmanim? So he says, on Bein HaZmanim, the yeshiva person is not worse than a Baal Bus of the Rambam. You have to learn at least 9 hours. The Rambam's Baal Bus learned 9 hours a day, right? So the yeshiva guy during Bein HaZmanim should be like the Rambam's Baal Bus. That was the Chazon Ish's response. But the point is that could be the atmosphere that the Rambam was in was completely different than today. And furthermore, by the way, everyone likes to say that the Rambam was a doctor and he supported himself and this and that. So that's only people who say that are people who don't know the Rambam's story. The Rambam was completely 100% supported by his brother, who was a wealthy businessman, until after the age of 50. Till he was after 50 years old, he never worked a day in his life, the Rambam. And then he cries bitterly. He has a letter. He cries bitterly that his brother died in a boating accident. The Rambam's brother died. And after age 50, for the last 20 so years of his life, he had to work his own parnasa to support himself because his brother had died. But the Rambam was in Kolel until after the age of 50. So
you think he didn't practice medicine until after 50?
Correct.
So, wow.
That's a bit of... This is a factual. This is a fact. 50? The Rambam was completely 100% supported by his brother his whole life until he was 50 years old. And only after that, when his brother died, did he actually practice medicine? And then he right away became the doctor for the king, you know, for the royal house of Egypt or whatever the story is. And at that point, he had no time anymore to learn. He writes, he basically has no time, you know, because he was very busy. But the point is that, you know, so it's not accurate. It's very inaccurate to say that the Rambam, you know, doesn't believe in whatever, you know. What the Rambam is talking about is a very unique circumstance. And even the Beit Yosef, who usually, you know, supports the Rambam, in this case explains very clearly how, you know, the concept of supporting people who are studying does not fall under this Mishnah. So, yeah, and he says that the Rambam would agree to that. So anyway, okay, just throwing that out there. Because this is, you know, it's an interesting point about this Mishnah. And tomorrow we'll get to Rabbi Chaim Lezner's Pirush on the Mishnah, okay?
Good to be back, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Shkoyach, shkoyach. Shkoyach, good to see you.